Go ahead, Mike.
Praise God, we're back here at the lighthouse, at home, and then.
Amen.
Honestly, we've kept growing. Like, God's kept growing us, despite not being here, coming back here. We definitely want to be here, and we were feeling the tug back here.
Well, he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you.
I mean, we stay close to him. But he's blessed the business. I've hired somebody. It's doubled in size since last year. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's done, despite ourselves.
Well, we're glad for you in lots of ways. Anybody else? Praises. Vicki.
I have several. I praise God that Amanda and Mike and Liam and I guess Dana probably in Sunday school are all here. And I have Lexi this weekend. I just got it right now. But and I just praise God that everything's moving along on our floor project. And we should have furniture in this week.
Awesome. Joshua, what's your praise?
Praise the Lord that he sent so many servants on Saturday. There were so many people showed up. We got so much done.
Awesome.
I praise him for that.
Good. Amen. Got it all done, far as the whole list, as far as I can tell.
Amen. That is a praise.
By two.
Amen. By two. Awesome. That's good. Who else? Praises. Glenn.
Well, I also want to thank the Lord. I got a lot of work to do in court now. A big job that just started. And it's going to be probably a couple weeks worth of work on probably the hardest installation I've ever done, really. But yeah, I'll get it done.
All right.
It's pretty well. The type of airplane it is, it's hard to work on.
Yeah, your job will fly away if you're not careful.
I'll get it done.
All right, who else? Praises. That's it?
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear them. I went missing.
You don't have a praise this morning?
I have a lot of praises.
Well, why don't you share one of them?
Okay. I just praise God that he's using me, and we have a new member joining the church today as a result of Bible classes, which is just been amazing that, you know, that he would want to use someone like me. And also just praising God for this church and, you know, the leadership here and all the people who have had a part and influence in my life.
There's been several. That's what a church is for, is to influence your life. That's one of the big items of purpose. Daryl, go ahead.
I want to praise the Lord for a text message I got last night. Brother Mike telling that we're going to be at church tomorrow. That blessed my evening there. And I don't know if this is a praise report or a prayer request.
No, no.
My daughter's coming home May 2nd. And praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Cool. Anybody else?
Well, praise the Lord for a wife that supports me in whatever I do.
Even the stuff she don't know about.
No.
Yeah. At the right time. Yeah.
I just want to praise God for keeping me busy too. It's really just helped to keep me busy doing good things, you know.
Amen.
And praise God that I'm sure that's already been said because I wasn't in here, but Amanda and her beautiful family is here. I'm just so happy to see them back.
Amen. Good to see all of them.
Yeah.
Even Mike.
He's in their family.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad he's
here. I wasn't mentioning that.
All right. Who else? Joshua, go ahead.
Megan and Wells across the street. Yesterday, Wells came out and said, Josh, said, call me tomorrow morning to make sure I wake up. I want to go to church. So, okay. So you call me, come knock on my door. I get up and go to church.
All right. Amen.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I woke him up at 7 o'clock this morning.
Oh, wow, they're lucky they waited on that.
Yeah. I was tired.
Yeah, well, that's how it works sometimes. All right. Who else?
You seem to have a lot of praises.
I do.
One, I got to have my granddaughter all weekend. It was nice. We haven't got to spend a lot of time together.
Okay.
Jilly.
Okay.
But she's enjoyed it. Alan's working. Turn around. I don't want to work it, but I guess it's a praise.
It's part of it.
Yeah. And then he works night this next week, which I don't even like worse, but he's working. So I praise God for that, and I praise God that he brought him to me.
Amen.
Amen.
And the extended family that loves me.
Well, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
Yes.
Clarissa.
I want to praise God for my mom's salvation, because she's facing a lot of medical things coming up, and I have no question.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Taylor. Who's your buddy?
This is Lexus.
Another one. And the peace of mind to know, like, that your parent is saved is
just
the Christ.
Yeah. That your mother is, you're also your sister, is an amazing thing.
Part of my church family.
Yeah.
I have a praise regarding your mom that that she's here in our body of Christ, and that the doctors found whatever it is that they're going to work on tomorrow in her surgery.
But she is not a very, she's, you know, and whatever happens, she knows where she's going, and it's just so cool.
Everything God does is not only good, it's cool.
It's cool. People don't call it cool.
Maybe not often enough.
Yeah.
Eva.
Thanks for the prayers. Giving all honor to God, who's the head of my life.
Amen.
And thank you all for the prayer. My granddaughter was released.
Amen.
Without incident.
Good.
Now I just have to get her out of New York.
Oh. Yeah.
New York.
Lord, they released her at 10 o'clock at night. How do you release a person that's in a mental institution at 10 o'clock at night in New York?
Put her out on her own.
And I ask for your continued prayers, because my first one was answered.
We can do that one. Anybody else? This is the part Jesus gets, so don't hold back. All right, John chapter 12. Before we get into the scriptures, the verses themselves, I want to talk a little bit today about the content of this chapter. John chapter 12, verse 1 starts out, it says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany." What's special about Bethany?
It's just close to Jerusalem.
It's close to Jerusalem. Who lived in Bethany?
Lazarus
and Martha and Mary.
Brother and sisters, right?
Yep. Passover, Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There you go. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. The Passover. Is this a special Passover?
Yes.
What's special about this Passover?
I have a question. I actually saw that on my calendar it says the Passover is supposed to be this coming Wednesday.
That's by a different calendar.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I think the importance about this Passover was he was going to die.
Yeah, that's one.
How was the high day?
The Feast of Unleavened Bread, of course, follows the Passover, and that was the high day, the high Sabbath. Is there anything else you can think of that's special about this Passover?
That the sins would be washed away instead of covered.
Well, I'll just take the suspense away and share with you this. One of the things there's several things. One of the things that you're going to notice as you travel through the New Testament is that many teachings that Jesus shared with the disciples occurred on that Passover day in that particular time frame. The institution of the Lord's Supper given to the church occurred on this Passover. This is where the Lord took the bread and the wine and said what he said and told us to do this as often as we do so in remembrance of him. One of the things that Jesus taught in conjunction with this Passover was what we read about last week, and that is the example of washing the disciples' feet,
which also happens to be the subject of Ray's sermon today.
The people of the towel, he calls the titles. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about this. But you're going to find that there's a number of famous and important teachings that occurred at this specific time. One of them being the washing of the disciples' feet. And this is, of course, the triumphal entry occurred prior to this particular Passover, where Jesus rode the colt into the city. And one of the particulars about this Passover was this is the time when Judas Iscariot would betray the Lord, which is happening during this Passover. When Jesus finished with the disciples washing their feet, it says, verse 20, there came certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh to tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What's he talking about?
He's going to be crucified, and then that's going to be where he comes into glory, right?
Yeah. This is the time for him to accomplish that for which he came. And then he says, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat. That word corn doesn't mean maize. It means grain, a grain of wheat. Fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die.
The disciples had forgotten about this until after he was crucified. Did they remember what he had said?
So then we're in verse 32, John chapter 12. This verse in itself says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There's a lot of people talk about Jesus being lifted up. This is not talking about honoring his name and praising him and lifting him up that way. This is talking about specifically being lifted up between heaven and earth, nailed up to a cross. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? That's a question that showed up from some students about a week ago. What's this Son of Man business?
Yeah.
Well, what do we know about Son of Man? Y'all just.
Well, I think Justin sleep? Said it. Am I going to spoil it?
What? Before we get to what Justin shared okay. with us about it, what do we most all know about this term, Son of Man?
It's Jesus. Emphasizes humanity. He's the Son of Adam. Yeah. Indicating well, he's the Messiah.
Most of us know that this is the name. This is the name by which Jesus refers to himself very often in the Scripture. I'm not sure if it's most often, but I think it is. I'd have to go through and actually count the verses and see who said what. But the Son of Man is not first mentioned in the New Testament. The Son of Man is all over the Old Testament. If you look up the Son of Man, you're going to find lots of verse references in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it is referring to Messiah by the Son of Man. So when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he is naming himself as the Old Testament Messiah, Savior of the world that is to come. Daryl.
Oh, that reminds me of whenever he says, I am.
Yeah.
That's even whenever he said that, when we mentioned it a while ago, they all fell down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the temple guard went backwards and fell to the earth, it said.
I think it's cool that all of that came from a question. And, you know, it really just like came.
Whom seeketh he, Jesus said. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And the word he is in italics, because what he said was, I am.
Yeah.
And when he said it, the power of his word put them all on the ground. And then Jesus, now what did Jesus say after that?
Let these go.
If you seek me, let these go. Because they didn't just come for Jesus. They came for Jesus and whoever else they could inflict damage upon.
It's weird how they just took him and not the rest of them.
What would you do? I mean, what are you going to do? He speaks his name and you're knocked to the ground by the force of his name. You get up and you dust yourself off. And,
I don't think I'm going to try to take anybody other than what I have to.
And then Jesus says, If you seek me, basically I'm here, but if you're looking for me, let these go. And they looked at each other and probably, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe that's a good idea. And so they took Jesus into custody then. Jesus, you got to know, and I'm pretty sure every person in here does.
John 12.
But you got to know that Jesus wasn't taken to the cross. Jesus went to the cross.
That's right.
12:33.
He wasn't nailed. He was up there on his own.
He went there on purpose.
He tells us he could have called legions of angels to take him down.
They mocked him to call them down.
Just give me the word. Just give me the word. Well,
in Jesus' words from the cross, the one that's probably... You know what Jesus said on the cross. He said, it is finished. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do. What else did he say from the cross?
He says, today you will be with me in paradise.
That's what he told the thief that believed on him. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which being interpreted is,
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Which he did it.
So the Father forsook Jesus. No, he didn't. Everybody said he did, but he didn't. He didn't. Jesus said, I am not alone. My Father is with me. Lisa?
Just as I know If you're thinking about cute little Bibles to get your kids, don't, without checking them out real carefully. Years ago, Gavin's birthday is today, he's 18. When he was about six, I bought him this hardback Lego Bible at Sam's Club. Mm-hmm. And of course I start reading it first because I'm not gonna not do that. And on the crucifixion, they have this totally black page and a bubble thing like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it says, God is holy and he couldn't
look upon, whatever.
And it was so wrong. I didn't want to donate it and get it put in somebody else's hands. Yeah. I threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
Tear that page up.
That's actually what they taught us in the church I went to when I was a kid, the Baptist church. They taught us that God couldn't look at his own son because of the ugliness of sin.
Where does that leave you? If that was true, where does that leave you?
That's what I'm left covering.
Now, and you, how many parents we have in here? Got, yeah, got parents all over the place. You know how you feel about your children?
Yeah. How much suffering would it be for you to have to watch one of your children go through what Jesus did?
I couldn't do it.
When the scripture talks about it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You watch somebody do this more than that. You didn't just watch somebody do this to your child, your son. You did this to your son out of love for them. And then when you turn your back and refuse and reject him, where does that leave you in standing with the Father? You're not just not accepting Jesus. You're rejecting everything that he did for you. I know it doesn't feel like that when you're lost and you haven't learned yet, but it is exactly like that from the Father's perspective. It's a horrible thing to die without Christ and to reject him. To say that it's not a good idea, it's like, I mean, how much emphasis can you put on that? But another thing. Yes, Dustin, go ahead.
Topic, but always one of the things, and I'm new, obviously, but one of the things that always stuck out to me is when he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Isaac, right? I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. It's like you have a God, right, that you're like, this guy's telling me to sacrifice my kid, and he just doesn't. Obviously he doesn't go through with it, but like he's just like, okay, and goes up to this mountain, and it's just like the amount of belief that you have to have, you know, to be willing to do something like that.
Abraham.
Where's the sacrifice?
To the last second.
Isaac had to live because that was the son that he was put on.
God had made Abraham a promise that through this boy, his seed, all the world is going to be blessed. So Abraham knew that if he did this, God would have to raise him from the dead, keep his word. Right. Tells us all about that in Hebrews.
I think that's pretty cool. He knew God's voice, you know? Like, he knew the Lord.
And when it says that Abraham believed God, we're not talking about, yeah, I think so, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abraham believed God, and it was counted...
Coming down when he stopped you?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Smarty pants.
A lot of speculation.
I didn't ask. Obviously, maybe it's like that.
I know that the angel stopped him.
Yeah.
It was pretty close to that point, if it wasn't.
The point is, would he have done it?
Yeah.
No question.
No, he saw the ram stuck.
No question.
Like, thank God. Yeah. Literally.
Nowadays, somebody would think that was a try stuck in the
mouth. You know, there have been the false gods, the idols, King Manasseh in Israel sacrificed thousands of children. You can relate to that to our country, because it's true. God said that it's never even come into my mind. It's not something God does. God gave his son for us, not to take our sons and daughters for him. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And that's his total opposite of, in the same way, other religions are, you know, you have to do this, this, and this, but our God died for us. It's the opposite.
So the difference between...
Well, I want to go back over those things, but we're actually in chapter 13, and we've gone down through verse 17. This is the Feast of the Passover, and after which this is where Jesus girded himself with a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. And Peter said, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter said, well, then wash the rest of me too. I would say Peter's a one of a kind, but I keep seeing myself in Peter and many of you in Peter. Peter suffered from cattle disease. Foot and mouth. He had his foot in his mouth more often than not, it seemed like. He not only talked a lot, he said a lot of things he wasn't really happy about later. He said, Lord, I will never betray you. Jesus said, before the cock shall crow, you will deny me three times. And people say, well, what if you sin really bad? Will you still go to heaven?
If you're saved, you're saved.
Well, Hebrews tells us about a lot of people who are absolutely in heaven. Samson's in heaven, committed suicide.
Yep, yeah. And he committed fornication his whole
life. Oh, yeah. Solomon's in heaven.
He had a blast doing it.
David's in heaven. Moses is in heaven.
Yeah, lots. Definitely.
What was it you told me about Moses this morning? Yeah, you said Moses was the first man in history who ever downloaded stuff from a cloud on a tablet.
That's a good
technically, Moses was the first to do something and download his son.
Anyway.
From a cloud to a tablet.
It's not original. Someone
prior than I. Sarah, you've been studying your Bible pretty good, but I bet you don't even know how many animals went with Moses on the ark.
He got it down to of the kinds, which is like, he says a little over 2,000.
Oh, that's incorrect. It was zero. Moses didn't take a single animal.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Now you've had that plated on you, you'll never fall for it again.
I don't really care so much about the name, more as a story.
Well, all right. Let me ask you this question. How many of each animal did Noah take with him on the ark?
Yeah, that was...
pair.
It's a pair. Two of each.
How many?
Two of each kind.
Two?
Two of each kind.
Dustin?
So it was... two of each kind that were pure, right?
That were unclean.
Impure, right? But there was ones for sacrifice as well, too, right?
Of the clean animals, there were 14. Seven of each. And how do we know that? Does anybody know how we know that? It's Genesis 6. Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. But there were, it says male and female. And there should be seven.
How many is male
and female?
Two.
Two. Can you divide two by seven?
No.
You can't. The language only allows for seven of each, not seven total. You can't divide seven by two and have male and female. Three of regular ones and then these funny ones.
Funny ones, yeah.
I guess. I don't know. But anyway, it's scriptures. It's there in the scriptures. And I probably read through my Bible for the first 20 or 25 times before I ever saw that. And when you start over in Genesis, it's early in Genesis, so you got to pay attention when you read stuff. Now, this is one of the things Jesus said after he washed people's feet and taught them why. And it'll be a good lesson from the sermon today too. I'm not sure what all Ray's going to cover. Get it right, I probably won't mention it, but at least till next week. But this is where we just are in this scripture. The Lord said, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Does that mean that we should, you know, there are churches that take this as one of the ordinances like the Lord's Supper.
And there are churches that wrestle rattlesnakes, but I'm not going to do it.
Well.
No, that's true. You won't find me in those.
No.
I think it's an example, or it's like a picture of serving each other.
Mm-hmm. Verse 15 says, for I have given you an example. That's what it says. That you should do as I have done unto you. Verse 16 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not his sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So, since I'm your pastor, I should have my own marketplace. Yes. I control all the money that comes in. And y'all wash my feet, right? If I come in. Is that right? Is that how it's supposed to work?
Treading on sacred ground over here.
You get to wash.
Some things
that.
I just have to be forgiven for. Anyway.
But I think that's cool because you see like deacons, you know, a deacon is like
Deacon is the guy that's to be the first at washing the feet.
They're like, you know, it's a position that's held high in the church, but they're servants, you know?
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And so it's just like God's like flip everything.
It is.
Back. Yeah.
Either will be great among you, let him be your servant. If you want to be a great servant of the Lord, then you serve.
Right.
That's how you do it.
That's life to be first.
Yeah,
it's your life to gain it, you have to receive.
Yeah.
It's all upside down in the spiritual.
It is.
This next part, we'll close on this verse and leave you to think about this until next week. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not to you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. He wasn't talking about Judas. He was talking about his chosen. Are you one?
13, but what verse?
Of his chosen. He said, I know. He said, I'm not talking to all of you.
Yeah.
There was one that he wasn't. That this wasn't applying to.
Yeah, that was.
And that was Judas, the one who would that eats bread with him there at the Passover, remember? And hath lifted up his heel against me. What's this lifted up the heel thing?
Kicking against it. what is it called when they kick against
the
pricks?
The goad?
Yeah.
Bricks, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not what this is talking about. The prick, it's a cattle goad. Poking you in the butt to make you go. This, if lifted up his heel. Do you ever see anybody just kind of spin and go the other way? That's what it's talking about. If I did that for you right now, the first thing we'd see would be my heel lifted up and heading, turning. It's when people turn their back on you. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about there's one that's he's eating bread with me, but he was going to turn his back on me. And he's telling them ahead of time
so they recognize it
when it happens. Judas is the one that shows up in the garden.
They're all
with him. They're praying. And Jesus shows up in the garden with the temple guard and betrays him with a kiss. Yeah. We talk about the physical suffering of Jesus and should, and we really remember that. But there's probably not a person in here who hasn't suffered some kind of betrayal in your life. And betrayal hurts. There's no getting around it. Sticks and stones shall break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. Baloney. Yeah. That is not true.